issues for COVID collection and everything. And then because of the term conflict and reserve there's an introduction from the team of the collection of tennis when the NTC is in the afternoon and they continue.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am from Kitama Chola, the Student of Energy, and I will ask the DG to just quickly point out who are the members of the team, and I think if they stand up, then we can move to the introduction phase of much better.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Filipo Makubela. I'm the acting DG of the Department of Energy. I'm going to call them by the order in which that they are going to be presenting. Sitting across me, and I'm going to ask the departmental colleagues to stand as I call their names. Mr. Omi Apani is the DDG for Energy Policy and Planning. Dr. Wusi Bala is the DDG Energy Programs and Projects. Then Mr. Mambo is the DDG for Mr. Energy. Mr. Victor Sibilia is the acting DDG for Petroleum and Petroleum Product Regulation. Ms. Yvonne Chetty is our Chief Financial Officer. Mr. George Mbuli is the DDG Corporate Services. Last but not least, Ms. Tandeka Zungu is the Chief Operating Officer. We also have in the room advisors to the Minister, Mr. Lucas. And then we've got the Jonathan Hill, who is the Chief of Staff in the Ministry. Mr. Gareth Sedegam is the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. And then Mr. Ndanzi is in the office of the DG. I'm pointing this because they will be interacting quite a lot with the committee and to help us with the parliamentary issue. Then Mr. Spencer Bodra deals with the media issues. And then Ms. Hadley is in the Deputy Minister's office. I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I must first begin by apologizing sincerely. The Minister has been delayed, but she is on her way. We had thought it would have been prudent for her to start off by giving an overview in terms of what the department would be presenting and the issues, and picking up some of those key issues. So I am going to actually read the statement. But in the interest of just facilitating the process, I'll pick up from some of those, but I think it would be appropriate as a interface if she could just do that, because I think it is a useful context to the work that we're doing. If I may.
I'm sure later on we will allow the Minister to send the link to the committee. So, as we support the
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, members of the Team Energy, and state owned entities here. All of us are aware that in the State of the Nation address, it was very clear that energy was at the center of whatever development we want as a country. And I dare say that the directives were very clear for all of us. For the next 5 years, it's about moving South Africa forward towards a secure energy future. The thing I would like to point out, Honorable Chairperson, is that we are in the process finalizing some of the following processes due to be outlined in further detail by us. We are working on finalizing the together with its components, which is the integrated resource plan, the effective utilization plan as well. There is a number of things that will come out of this. Of course, when we look at the gas utilization, I think in the presentation earlier to yourselves, we are looking at where some of this gas will come, where, what are the entities that are dealing with this. And we are aware that within the Southwest region, there's been quite massive recoveries of natural gas from the region. How we then link that up in terms of our integrated energy plan and the infrastructure required. Those are some of the issues with the integration with that. The regional integration also in terms of that strategy central in terms of this energy security, and within that, apart from the gas that we're looking at on the East Coast in terms of Tanzania and Mozambique, we're also looking at issues of clean energy as well, the hydropower, looking at countries like the DRC, which of course have got the potential to light up the entire sub-region that can be processed. In as far as the nuclear program, we are in the process of accelerating the outstanding matters, as honorable members are well aware. That's an area that needs a lot of work in terms of environmental issues, safety issues, making sure we comply with a number of national and international conventions. But that process is definitely underway, and it is an integral part of the energy mix that we're looking at. We are involved with other entities like the Department of Public Enterprises in terms of looking at one of our key enterprises, which is ESCOM. Members are aware that ESCOM does not report to the Department of Energy. We do the policy work, but the actual accountability is to public enterprises. But we are working together because we believe that it has a direct impact in terms of the work that we do, and looking at what needs to happen in terms of capacitating ESCOM so that we can take our energy security agenda forward. We are looking at issues around legislation that creates a conducive environment for this energy vision. So we're looking at finalizing the restructuring of the National Energy Regulator and creating product scope and guidelines for the certification of IPP through the electricity regulation bill. This is also an item that I'm sure we will engage much more in detail on that. We are aware that in terms of the renewable energy, in terms of renewable energy, we had quite a lot of success in terms of ICT, but members would probably want to have much more detail in terms of what are the implications and whether renewable energy in particular fits in terms of the energy mix, and then the ICTs in general, which are not limited only to the renewable energy.
Chairperson, allow me to apologize. I'm trying to close down admin issues because I do not have a problem. Thank you, Chairperson. And honorable members, my apologies for the admin.
Honorable members, we are also in the process of analyzing the regulatory framework for the pricing of biofuels, which was also an issue that was picked up as key in the earlier presentation. There is some discussion around some of the practical issues around that, which will be elaborated in the presentation by the department. The issue of universal access remains the key challenge, and among those issues are the issues of course, electrification is key in that in terms of grid and non-grid. And we will also highlight for you some of the practical challenges of this process, which is a very rapid moving target. So whenever we think we have dealt with a particular area and we move on, we come back and find that actually the need has traveled in that area. So there are some real issues that will need us to work very closely and closely along with the municipalities in terms of these areas and particularly the informal. The issue of maintenance and refurbishment in terms of backlog or in the electrification distribution. distribution industry continues to be a major challenge. We've got issues around constitutional areas of responsibility between the national and municipal areas, which sometimes overlap and can sometimes lead to quite a number of delays in terms of trying to negotiate what the best way to do it. But these are because of the very sheer, well, not always very sheer separation of powers and responsibilities. Honourable members, you should also know that by implementing a pilot project in this regard in 7 municipalities and 2 metros, and we are recording some areas of success, getting up to 320 million in this project. Again, as I said, I'm just highlighting those issues which will come out much clearer in terms of implementation. We are working very closely with other spheres of government to ensure that the top president to render service application and support to specific municipalities and district municipalities is adhered to. Not only in respect to specific entities mentioned in the donor, but also the 24 district municipalities identified by the Department of Human Development and Medical Sciences. Many of these ones, we believe that if we can manage to address these challenges in these areas, we would have reached up to 30% of the households in the country. So this is a key focus area for us. The issue of repositioning and centering our state-owned enterprises is key, and among those, of course, is the Central Energy Fund, which we will be debating in greater detail this afternoon. The presentation today by the department is really about giving a best eye view in terms of the department itself, and to demonstrate and to align our work with the various policies, in particular the National Development Program, which I believe, Honorable Chairperson, is what you, the committee, yourself and the committee has requested to say, how are we aligning our decisions. That's what we have tried to do in the presentation, to make sure that we address that particular issue. I will now be handing over to the acting DG, to begin the presentation of the department, but I want to stress once more that the issue of radical transformation and urgency in our policy development approach is something that's going to be cutting across throughout the presentation. We have to do things in a much more integrated and with some urgency, because the challenges are there for all of us to see. The energy sector has been identified as one of the biggest constraints to economic development in our country, and we definitely will do our utmost to correct that in collaboration with the other departments, other entities, and with your support. Thank you again for the opportunity, honorable members, and we look forward to engagement throughout.
Thank you very much. And I didn't
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to acknowledge the Honorable Minister. Thank you, Assistant Minister, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. It is indeed an honor for me to lead the team of the Department of Energy to appear before this committee. I'd like to start by extending our congratulations as a department to the Honorable Chair for election to the Chair of this Portfolio Committee, also to the members of the committee for election to Parliament, but also to the Portfolio Committee on Energy. We look forward to working with you. The sector, I must indicate from the beginning, that we are going to be going through quite a phase in terms of the issues that will be coming to the committee in terms of legislation and so on. And we look forward to the guidance from the community in that regard. I also want to take this opportunity to acknowledge what we call in the Energy Department, clean energy. All the entities that are associated with the Department of Energy, but also both in the public and in the private sector. Because we believe that we can deal with the energy challenges of our country if we approach them working together. Second, I'm going to go over the introduction in terms of the presentation, because I've already introduced the members of the team. But ideally, what we would want to cover this morning is the presentation will be myself and then the DDGs that are responsible for the various aspects in the energy sector, as well as the budget from the chief financial officer. We as a department, we were established in 2009 in what I believe was a visionary move by government in splitting the Department of Minerals and Energy, because this helped elevate energy into what a role that is supposed to play in supporting the economy of the country. The aim of the department really is to formulate policies and regulation, legislation, and then oversee the implementation of the legislature. We do, however, get calls whenever the lights go out, and we need to communicate, I think, a little bit more as a department to South Africans that we actually do not operate power plants, as well as we do not operate the network. However, they are justified in calling, but I think at some point we need to make it clear that as a department, we are a policy department. Our mission, therefore, is to regulate and transform the sector to ensure that the citizens of this country, as well as the inhabitants of our country, have got sustainable and affordable energy. We have a vision, and in terms of our vision, and what is exciting about this vision is that it has been reinforced in the National Development Plan. We basically want to improve our energy mix by having 50% of clean energy by 2025. That's our vision. And it aligns fully with the aspirations ever called in the National Development Plan. I think at this stage I'd like to just say one or two minutes to deviate from the presentation by just explaining the landscape. What are we talking about when we talk about this energy sector for which we have been asked to develop policies for? We're talking, honorable members, about electricity, but also energy is not just about electricity. Energy is also about liquid fuels, it's about gas, it's about renewable energy, it's about all other forms of energy. But what tends to happen is that the focus tends to be a lot on electricity, and we tend to forget that there are other aspects of the energy sector that we need to look into. I always remind myself by saying that, for example, in as far as petroleum is concerned, we have a responsibility of keeping 9 million engines going, because that's the number of engines, including the aircraft that fly us from point A to point B. That is what we have a responsibility over. Over and above the millions of households for which we have to ensure that there is electricity. That is the sector that we're talking about. We just as also as another example here is that you have in the country a number of power stations, and those will be covered in the presentation, that follows. But we also have over 400,000 kilometers of power lines, you know, that transmit the power. Now those are going to be looked after by somebody. And at any given time, environmental elements will get those power lines. So that is the nature of the challenge that we have to deal with. At some point, we would want to come back and really go into detail about the energy sector and basically all the facilities, where they are located, and in fact also have the portfolio committee you know, visit some of those facilities. Now if I continue, basically to derive our mandate from the White Paper on Energy Policy, principally, but also the National Energy Act of 2008, and going back to that policy, which in my view was groundbreaking, the focus there is to ensure that there is access to energy in our country, to improve governance of the energy sector as a whole, and I believe that we are well on our way towards achieving that, and I think the consideration by NASA and later on will attest to that. Also ensuring very important the economic development in our country. That is what we are charged with. And doing all of that, making sure that the environment is looked after, and that in generating energy, in usage of energy, the environment is well looked after. Lastly, in terms of the White Paper on Energy Policy, very, very important is ensuring security of supply through diversity. And I want to underscore, Honorable Chair and Members, diversity of sources. Because I think when we, as an energy department, say we need all energy sources, basically it is informed by what is in that energy white paper. Now, in setting up this mandate, as I indicated earlier, we developed legislation, and we undertook the project, and my colleagues will go through them as we move on with the presentation. Briefly, that is the structure of the department. I think the members can look at it with the presentation. Most of those members of the management team will be presenting here during the course of the day. I did introduce Mr. Akmane, who is the head of energy policy and planning, and basically the mandate is to ensure that there is evidence-based policy development, as well as guiding the investment decisions that are made in the energy sector. He has quite a huge job because he has to look after basically the whole of the energy sector in terms of policy and planning. We also have a branch that looks after petroleum and petroleum products regulation, and that one basically makes sure that the cars that we have are kept on the road, and that the gas are also kept in the air, and all of that in an orderly fashion. They undertake licensing petroleum compliance inspection. Any programs and projects, very important branch as well. This is the branch that ensures that the country gets electrified. And when we talk about the integrated national electrification program, this is where it all happens. They basically are the ones that are responsible for making sure that people have got electricity in households. Give the energy speaks for itself. Their mandate is to ensure that we have a vibrant nuclear energy industry, and making sure that the existing as well as future programs are basically catered for. Corporate policies, they provide support, but very importantly, they train the members of our department and coordinate the training and development programs of NAD in the country as a whole. Most of the members of corporate services, in fact, two members of corporate services serve on the energy and water sector, as well as the as well as CIESA. And through those two sectors, I can indicate that we have a very good pipeline of people that are being trained in order to ensure that we have a sustainable regulatory organization. Governance and compliance, this is headed by Mr. Sungu. They keep us on our toes, making sure that the strategic plans are prepared and submitted to Parliament on time, and that annual reports are prepared and submitted on time. Very importantly also, they look after the state-owned enterprises, and I will talk to those a bit later. The funding issues, making sure that we have compliance to the PSMA, we do things according to the prescripts, but also very important that we pay our suppliers within 20 years. This is done by the Financial Management Services branch, headed by Chetty, and I think she will talk to that today when she presents. Then in terms of the vote, and I think here I need to indicate that the committee should not be alarmed by the number of unfunded votes. We just wanted to come here to say we're establishing rather than mine. We've been building capacity. We want to get at some point to 814 votes. That's what we have to approve. We've been building up, and we have a process with Treasury, which is underway to make sure that over time, when the resources of the country allow, we're able to get to that number. Now, I think that perhaps there may be an issue about the number that it is too big, but if you look at the task that we have, and you know, at the end of the day today, I think members would realize that we actually need to get to that 814 sooner as possible. We have our headquarters in the Gauteng province, City of Pane, Matimba House is where our headquarters is. We have offices basically in all provinces in the country, and the only one where we decided to co-locate the headquarters in order again to be as efficient as possible is the housing original. Now, also important is that we are still sharing space with the Department of Mineral Resources in terms of office space. And that is a matter that we are handling with the Department of Public Works to try and, you know, have our own office spaces. The legislation that governs what we do, I think the list is there. And what we can undertake is to ensure that the secretariat of the committee, that the committee members have got a full suite of legislation at their disposal so that they can be of assistance at any given time. The strategic outcomes that we have, basically in our plan, we set ourselves a task to ensure that the security of supply of energy and that the demand is well managed, because, you know, in terms of energy, you also have to make sure that you manage the demand. There is no wastage of energy, you are able to also regulate that demand in such a manner that those who supply can respond to it. So because the sudden surge of demand for energy, you know, in such that the supplier cannot always cope with that. We also have to ensure that the infrastructure that has been developed. 5 years ago, we did not have the pipeline, major petroleum pipeline that transports liquid fuel from the coast to the inland region where the demand is. And we have undertaken that work, and I think that it has improved the situation of supply of liquid fuels in the inland region of our country. Also ensuring that the regulation and the competition through the work that is spearheaded by Mr. Pani will talk to some of those issues, and also perhaps part on the issue as to where we are with the ISMO and where we propose going in terms of going forward. Universal access to energy carriers, modern energy carriers, that basically talks to electrification program. Very important is the transformation of the sector. Now that's an area that we want to focus on during this term of government, because we believe that it is an area that requires us to step on the pedal a little bit. Ensuring, as I indicated earlier, that the assets are, environmental assets are protected, and that we are able to develop policies that respond to climate change. Very important also that we have prudent governance, corporate governance, and I can indicate here to the committee that we've started the department quite well. We have been steadily improving towards a clean audit, and that perhaps will be touched on later by the CFO. We don't know what qualification is as the Department of Energy, and we hope to keep it like that. And that is an area that the CFO will cover later on. In terms of the entities reporting to the minister, they will introduce themselves this afternoon, the energy regulator, the safety regulator, NNR, FANEDI, NEXA, Central Energy Fund. We have a new institute that was established recently called the Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute. I must indicate that they will not be presenting because they have just been established and are in the process of setting themselves up. As indicated by the Deputy Minister, ESCOM does not report to the Minister of Energy in as far as the shareholder representation is concerned. Now, in terms of the highlights for the first 5 years of the department, I think we take pride in the fact that we were able to have over a million connections to electric stations, as well as the construction of integrated centers, which would invite the members of the committee to visit. The integrated energy center is basically a center where the sale of energy services from electricity basically mainly built around petrol and diesel and paraffin. They are built in rural areas. We have a number of these that have been built through partnership with the oil companies, but also importantly these are located, as I said, in rural areas, and the communities run themselves. We've also been able to produce a 20-year plan, RRP, for electricity, and we're well on our way to producing other plans, which will be unveiled by the minister later on this year. We're also able to have a successful independent power producer program, which has been heralded worldwide as one of the best programs of this nature ever run in the world. So through this program, we're also able to attract 120 billion rand of foreign direct investment. And this is a program that is continuing, and we will indicate later on what how to would form that this is going to take going forward. To a large extent, we were able to move in creating regulatory preferences for investors and income investments that have come in as a result of that. Of course, we still have to do more, and we need to do more certificates. The last two slides from my side focus on the challenges. I think the first challenge we have is that of the generation capacity. It is well known that I think we are challenged in as far as that is concerned in terms of electricity. However, I think once Midupi comes on stream and later on other programs that ESCOM is working on, as well as the ICTs, we should be able to turn the corner in as far as this is concerned. The distribution electricity distribution infrastructure is in need of repair and refurbishment, and I think my colleagues will talk to those as they present. Very importantly, particularly on the day preceding the increase of petrol and diesel, the cost of energy, I think is an area that remains a challenge. Perhaps I just need to explain here that the fuel increases in particular are impacted upon now by geopolitical issues. The situation in Iraq is the primary cause of what the increase that we are going to be witnessing tomorrow. And if that situation remains as is, I think that we are likely to see elevated levels of petrol and diesel prices going forward. The escalation of some of the tensions in the Middle East, as was reported in the last 24 hours in the West Bank and Gaza, also begin to worry us because they are going to have an upward pressure on the price of crude oil going forward. Energy efficiency remains a challenge. And again, I will repeat something that I always like to say, that to ask a question, Chairperson, is how many of us check our bills, our energy bills, to the same level that we check our bank statement? And I think, Chairperson and honorable members, it is important that South Africans as a whole are encouraged to check their bills. Because you may start a habit. You may start looking at the issue of the lights that are on in the house, in a room that is not basically occupied, and begin to switch from. You may begin to say that if everyone has watched, why is the geyser remaining on when you are all at work or the children are at school? So those kind of things, I think, are basic things that we can do to even put more money in our own pocket. And it can be done. Changing issues like cooking with gas, heating with gas, instead of cooking and heating with electricity. The problem that we have in as far as electricity is concerned is a big problem. And it's a morning and then evening. Now, if we were to change all of us from switching on the heaters when we get home, electric heater, and switching on the kettles to boil the water, to basically heat the water with a gas stove and switch on a gas heater, that begins to moderate that. And then you may find that actually you have less challenges in as far as inadequacy of the electricity to meet that particular concept. So those are some of the things that we will have to work very tirelessly as a department to make sure that people understand. The last but not least very important is economic transformation. And this is particularly an issue in the liquid fuel sector in our country. And I think that we need to do more to ensure that there's visible transformation in this particular sector. The last slide really is the key focus areas. I'm just not going to go too much on those because I may be talking to what my colleagues will be elaborating upon. But really, the solar water heaters, more electrification, and the very important, the integrated energy plan, the backlog on the distribution, all these methods will be covered in the presentation by the DDGs that follow. The last word from my side, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is that we do have a major challenge. I don't want to come here and say it will be over in the next 2 days or 3 days and so on. We are going to have to be disciplined in the manner in which we approach the energy challenges that we have in our country. We all have to be disciplined. We have to keep at it. We owe it, not only to ourselves, but to future generations, to ensure that they don't experience the challenges that we face currently. And thank you, Chair. I will hand over to Mr. Alphonse.
Sorry, Chairperson, my apologies for acting busy. I think it can't hand over to another first speaker. It is a chairperson of the meeting. So if you may allow us to have the next discussion. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson, I ask the team to be vigilant for time and to be more disciplined. I do understand that there are many presentations to be made. How to open them seems to order, so we need to watch in the community to work. And there are also specific individuals for your sector. I would like us to do the input first and then when the members have questions. That we all respond, and I will take the opportunity to also respond. So, some sense of feeling, so we are agreed on the opening statement of the state minister, sharing the collective input. So, if you allow us to continue to save time, but I don't want to make a long speech now, but it has made the first question out of the super response. Thank you, Chair. But certainly, the department and the special is for including this presentation and we'll open the floor for the there are many questions and also we have a 55-page slide of the JV and a 100-page slide of the JV at the second time. So some please could you please be satisfied or engaging with our other please but I know how passionate you are, you can see on the slide with the AMC. And quite often before we are supporting from the state. So if some political party wants to go, then we should do the presentation of the other states. Thank you.
Okay, thanks,
Minister.
Thank you for the planning board. one of the old members said, that when we get too long a presentation, I said, oh, I don't want to listen to that long story. And you tell us the big issues. Because the important things can be hidden in the wrong. But I would not be able to give you this.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable Member, thank you very much. My name is Nkia Pan. It's only 13 slides, so I'll try and hurry up as much as I can. And this is a presentation on the policy banning clean energy component, which is program programs 2 and 6. And what we have done is laid out the alignment between the strategic outcome, the government program of action, the 12 outcomes in addition to what we do, so as to give the portfolio committee a sense of the work that we have done to share with the national development and so forth. So the first few slides of today, for example, we're going to start with one of the preoccupations in relation to job creation and creating an open inclusive growth. Then it's actually which is very prominent in the the way that we respond, and as the human effect is needed, it's a concession of economic development, which are regulated demand that we will introduce in a better resource energy generation on the price side, and also taking account of the demand for energy efficiency technology. We also try and create a conducive environment for introducing so called non ESCOM options in the energy space, recognizing that ESCOM alone will not be. Our function is to do the 10 years already indicated. We do the high-level integrated plan, the integrated energy plan. We also do the sectoral plan for electricity, for gas, also for the fuel. What we have not indicated is the component that relates to our national energy efficiency strategy, which is a very different component as well. But we also take it further in this cycle by at the logistical applications, we do the transmission development plan, the cooperative transmission development plan. We also look at the major distribution infrastructure on the electricity side, but we also look at midstream infrastructure for gas and also for liquids. So as to complete the application. Our planning function requires us to compile statistics. It's a very big weakness in government processes. That we do not have statistics that allow us to plan properly, and we take it upon ourselves to publish annual statistics that are regional for the procedure. We also talk about transformation, the human transformation, which is vertical transformation, and that's what we need to approach. So as we do, as we outline our program, the issue of regulation features very commonly. The improvement of regulation within the data sector is one of our big efforts. In the hydrocarbons space, we also look at the issue of transformation, which is an example of the transformation of in the economic sense, the transformation in the structure of the sector, but also in the economy. In the domestic space, in fact, we make reference to the sustainable human elements aspect and improving quality of life. You might wonder how we do that through regulation, for example, trying to accelerate the introduction of the liquid petroleum gas for cooking and CCP is one of those things that we need to improve and the quality of life through regulation. And then again, to create
a certain defect that was mentioned in the opening statement. It said that we want to establish appropriate mechanisms in order to address ESCOM's funding and model, the issues that relate to making sure that we're able to build new generation capacity and in a manner that balances the interests of ESCOM, the utility, but also the economy and the investors. We have a responsibility to the environment that's far from them. Our response in this election is that we have made an effort to manage climate change in a manner of ability to manage efficiency of something, but we also do, we have a very keen focus on using renewable energy technology, not only in the grid, but in the global system. My question is about my concern to talk about the solar program, but I also elaborate a little bit on the biofuel program. This is related to the over and above that, we are responsible for safeguarding our land and making sure that we fulfill our obligations under the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. We run the so-called designated national authority, and an outcome from the Global Protocol Commitment, and register carbon emission reduction programs in order to facilitate their trade. So it's a financial instrument that we're responsible for managing the country in line with our United Nations commitments. If I can then very briefly go into the activity in the current COVID economy, the medium-term strategic framework, if I can maybe throw out for one second to share on what it means. Effectively, what happened is that the government started a whole set of matching orders for the various departments for the medium-term strategic framework, and that informs what the medium-term strategic framework would take. In other words, what the money allocation would be. So we look in the next slide at the medium-term strategic framework of the government, which covers the period from now to 2019, so it's a 5-year term. I'm going to focus specifically on the current exercise, so in other words, our annual performance plan up to March 2015. And these are all the highlights. And then some reference to the legislative program that we have in order to facilitate certain things as the instrument that we use, so we implement our policy through legislative instruments. The ESS, the regulation amendment bill, has been taken through a consultative process for the stakeholders, and it's now at the government level, the intergovernmental level, and hopefully the commission will be tabled to this portfolio committee. So it's the issue of the National Energy Regulator Amendment Bill, and both of those bills in fact, we expect that if the cabinet approves, that this would be some of the critical indications that we would have according to assisting processing and go there. Over and above that, there is the matter of the integrated resource plan and interconnectedness. Element here relates to facilitating the registration of the private sector. This was incidentally mentioned in our State of the Nation address. And one of the ways that we deal with this is to ensure that we put in place regulations that we are able to facilitate in the electricity space, which for some way with the renewables, but also try to take that into gas and electricity. CADI, as the DG has indicated, is one of the issues. The cost of the various energy options that we use would like to have a very keen sense of the integration there. The last reference to the integrated energy plan, and we have gone through the consultation process. This was referred to the legislation address, and the reference was to an energy master plan. And our response is in relation to the energy plan at the global level, but that also indicated the sectoral ones, which would be the gas master plan. It would also be the liquid fuels master plan. And over and above that, there was reference to the state of the nation for launching a program to develop the West Coast offshore gas program. So we are aligned in relation to what is in the reactors of this framework, in NDP, but also what is in our own and any other summons. Then the member of the update of the IRP goes through stakeholder consultation with my departmental effort, and the responsiveness to the call for managing master plans to be accelerated. This is how we deal with that. I've mentioned the issue around transmission and the development plan, but more significantly is that it will also bring the picture around our regional interconnection element. You might be aware of the work that we're doing to try and integrate into the DINGA project, I guess, and the smaller link as well. Over and above this, I think the issue with the municipalities, the work that's in the state of the nation, that's as well for us to do more work to try and address the municipal, if you like, the last mile problem, and that relates to municipalities. And part of the update of the IRP would look at the logistical exchange going all the way from the previous portfolio committee was used with the bill on the independent system and market operator. And this was repeated in the state of the nation affairs. And what the legal term strategic framework was for the establishment of the independent system and market operator. We are just not yet aligned on this one. So they could work really hard in the portfolio committee to spare the time so that we can then have a faster and more rigorous consultation on the matter. Then the renewable energy ICT program, we are on track based on my mandate. In fact, the next program is due to be launched in the next 3 months. Over and above that, programs that relate to the determinations that were made, the IPP program in the race for safe coal generation and coal that they provided. I've mentioned the issue of the feedback was on there, which is the feedback that specifically about the development of hydroelectric resources, the first to mandate of the region, that's a lot of innovation there too. Then we also required to enhance the 12 largest municipalities, the distribution thereof, and perhaps on this one, that's where we maybe because the department has certain regulatory interventions that it could make, but I think it goes further than that. It requires municipal buy-in to stay in line with their constitutional mandate. And as such, we will need a kind of action that involves the Paralympic Government Association, the Department of Cooperative Government, and local government itself. So the regulator, NERSA, and the competition will see they also do some tariff approval decisions to municipalities, but they're very limited in the way that the regulator is, but they're not responsible for the surcharge that the municipalities have. So that's a big issue there. And most of the value that has been mentioned is the code of the national referendum and here that we have to find common grounds to resolve that. I've mentioned the issue about the funding model and the resolution for that work which will be taken to the next slide. On the energy efficiency side, there's a few elements. Firstly, we would like to be able to promulgate a demand side status. We call it a kind of interventions that would be used to reduce our demand, particularly to indicate the peaking. The peaking problem we suffer in the morning and late in the evening. So we would like to be able to align with the call for what was referred to in the DSS strategic framework, improving demand side through smarter management of electricity. And I believe that, for example, a hydrogen program, the program in the building envelope, and is incentivized with the standard of what we're able to address that. One of the other elements that we have to align is the determination that was made by the regulator in terms of the institutionalization of energy efficiency activities outside of ESO. And then this is the process in terms of which some work needs to be done to finalize the constitutional arrangement. You might be aware that the National Energy Efficiency Agency, NEDA, has been given a certificate merit. and so deep for the income tax amendment act, so on, and so such and some words I could take at the institutionalization and we're doing some work dedicated to the national energy efficiency strategy in the national energy action plan, sorry, national energy efficiency action plan, and we are in the process of giving it money for cabinet before implementation. And the issue of solar energy, and this is not the energy efficiency program specifically, but includes the solar program to allow sorry, 600,000 solar energy needs by March 2016, and we're splitting into the 2 years, the 200,000 for this year and the plan in the following year. The matter of local funding. Those units that is has been a problem, and in fact has been allowed in the development of the program, and it's mainly to address, you know, in what you call the life contracting model in order to localize the units that are installed. And the last slide, Chair. And the renewables, we are called to commission at least 7,000 megawatts by 2020, and to get a renewable energy interventions, as I indicated, we are marked with that. Then there's the question around taking a decision on the 45 capacity by next year, sorry, by 2020, and we would say that the liquid fuels infrastructure, that the liquid fuels, the 3 year liquid fuels, not the same, or roadmap, would be able to address the particular question was. So you will see that we regard that as being on track in terms of analyzing the decision. Then the issue around the cost of our mechanism for protein and fuels, certainly is that we are aligned to the funding mechanism for upgrading of the existing refineries. Is a project that was targeted for 2020, and we believe that there might be room to try and prevail in economic decline. When it comes to the issue around the use of applicants that are referred to the sector, the infrastructure element needs to be taken into account because it informs the pricing mechanism that the to be put in place so that people do not tell the visitors additional costs. So to reduce the price level, we need to have a permanent solution which would include the storage, the infrastructure. So the capitalization must then have the important idea of that. And the last one is the biofuels and the call for us to introduce biofuels into the liquid fuel category and make sure that we blend them in an energy way. The regulations have been accommodated and we believe that the price mechanism delayed would be dealt with in this financial year. I think that was the last part of the contract.
Thank you for the complete guide. Again, thank you for the presentation. We continue the next presentation and then take the questions of the digital presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, I'm glad to be able to much. And I'll make sure that the technical base. So that means the technical base, which is basically to manage the regulation of the petroleum products, to ensure optimum and all the different things the petroleum is achieved to achieve government goals. The ranch has three sub programs, which are basically also the three pillars of our regulatory framework of the downstream petroleum sector, which is the fuel pricing, oil price control, the petroleum licensing and emitting, which basically includes the import of petroleum products, the compliance, monitoring and enforcement, ensure that license holders can comply to the existing and conditions. So each of the programs, as Dominique presented before, we try to link it to the strategic outcomes of government. So in terms of the first strategic objective that we have, we contribute to one outcome, 6 and 10. Our strategic objective for the petroleum compliance monitoring enforcement is to ensure the development transformation of the green fuel sector. And in terms of the funding in this program, basically to ensure that we comply with the transformation legislation and all the technical and economic legislation. We can move to the next program. The next one is the petroleum licensing and fuel supply. Here as well, we again contribute towards outcome 4 and 6. And the strategic objective for this is basically to ensure and facilitate the participation of historical disadvantaged South Africans in the sector. And we do this through the licensing and through the organization of import and export trading, and also we in this sub-program we also coordinate the supply of fuels in the country to make sure that we have the petroleum products everywhere. Okay. Last but not least is the fuel pricing regulation. This is the problem that is responsible for monitoring of sectors that impact the crude oil prices and the petroleum products in the international market. It's also a program that adjusts fuel prices on a monthly basis, as agencies indicated tonight, we're going to have a change in the fuel price. It also looks at the elements that in the BFP to ensure that they at all times align. In terms of our annual performance plan, basically to break down all those strategic objectives into three goals. The first one is with regard to compliance monitoring. It's like when we go out there to conduct inspections, and we find people who are not complying with the targets that exist on 85% of the cases where we find non-compliance, we must be sure that those people are issued notices. I must indicate, Honorable Chair, that internally our goal is to make sure that it's 100%. But in terms of our plan, we started with 85% and we're increasing on an annual basis. The challenge that we have on this one is basically on the process of imposing penalties for non-compliance. It's very cumbersome at the moment, and we are working on amending the legislation to ensure that the process is going to be easier, because we identify that we have repeat offenders in that area. The other one is where we go and do fuel testing. We go around, take the samples and send it to the lab to test whether it complies with the standards that are set by the minister. And we have a target that when we do that, at least 95% of cases where the fuel is not complying, we need to make sure that we take action. Even this one as well, we make sure that we have a difference, but in terms of the target, at least 95% to allow for someone who's in circumstances. And we also have a target that 50% of license applications that we receive, that the controller is responsible for, at least in that group they have 50% BEA ownership. Next slide. And we also have a provision in the legislation where the actual participant in the sector can apply and request a controller for arbitration if on the agreement that they have their disagreement. And Honorable Chair, I need to indicate on this one that the uptake from the members of the industry is very low, and our plan is to enhance our stakeholder awareness campaign in this area so that people can utilize it. Because in most cases, the people that approach the controller are those that the agreement comes to an end, that they not too much. The other two issues about that we are going to do, they are related to a few types. One, we are going to implement the recommendation that we get from the BFP and the MBZ review study, BFP being the basic fuel type, and the MBZ, the material district code. Basic fuel price basically is the way we calculate the supply of fuel in South Africa. It's a deemed methodology. So we deem as if the fuel was would have been produced here in South Africa, whereas it was imported. So the elements, both international as well as local elements, that we take into account, and we are busy reviewing those elements. We are publishing a paper for stakeholders to comment on after we have done some work on that, and we want to make sure by the end of the year we implement the recommendation from that. The MDZ basically is to align the magisterial district zone to the municipalities, so that because the fuel prices differ according to the zones where people live. And the last one is also to conduct a service station survey to ensure that we have a benchmark legislation. This is in line with what we implemented last year, called the regulatory accounting system, which basically allows us to set the margins for retailers and wholesalers. So as part of the retail margin, we set up a service station and call it the benchmark service station. And it allows the investors in the retail sector to get a fair return. So we are doing a second round of this survey now to update the costs that are associated with running a service station. The last slide from my side is, as Mr. Abani indicated, once the work on the biofuels is finalized, we are going to address the biofuels pricing framework. This will ensure that the biofuel products that are going to be produced, the prices as well are regulated, because it will have to be mixed with the petroleum product. So we're going to gather that. There's a team of stakeholders and interdepartmental teams that are working on this to develop a different aspect of this project. Thank you, sir.
Honorable Chair, thanks, Honorable Mr. Deputy Minister, Team Energy, and stakeholders. Thanks to Bronze, and I'm going to deal with this. Actually, the one that is where the policies and strategies that have been developed within the department have been implemented. So that's actually the area where fire is in the top. So this branch is a relatively new branch. We also having a lot of technical staff housed in this branch because of the technical nature of what we're doing. But I think it's also in terms of the implementation very important to take note that we're not only dealing with the implementation, but we deal with some other aspects that we're dealing with. Next slide, please.
can also deal with the various energy regional offices. As you might be aware, we have 9 regional offices, province, Department of Energy. Then we also deal with internal budget management activities to ensure that we also align. We'll come back to that a bit later. But then, very important is the infrastructure of electricity. Is very important in the sort of dealt with in the months. And then lastly, we also deal with some softer issues, very importantly, and the development awareness of energy. And that's what you can run down. The next one, we'll see, just as with other colleagues of mine, the involvement in the various outcomes of government. Of the 12, 6 of them will be directly or indirectly involved. I think what's important is that what we also do in terms of implementation is to make sure that the programs also being generate necessary job creation is very important. So we also want to align that. But that it also links us to the potential infrastructure coordination commission, which is the next slide, and just a highlight of that. Next slide. We'll be also being involved as a department in various infrastructure projects, so-called strategic integrated projects, which have to direct electricity and link. That will also, as the second DGS community, we can also all of these aspects come back to the committee and then reflect on what we involved. The next slide is then where we're going to continue to deal with the very specific activities that we're dealing with. It is clearly very important in education. As we mentioned, we're not only involved in the program from a monitoring point of view, we also do the planning. We also go down to the level of technical planning now, give you some challenges and the influences of this program. As you maybe not aware, there are two implementing groupies, the ones in Spelling, maybe 2 of them, also a license, and then HCOM in the areas where there's not the license in which you can. This financial year, 4.15 billion rands have been allocated for this program to ensure some of the information. As I mentioned last year, last financial cycle, we issued our targets. I believe that detail for the minister to deal with in the budget for speech, but I think it's a good story to be told there. So for the last 2-3 years, we issued our targets in terms of what has been set into our budget, and I think that's important to take note of. I think that being said, it's not all right. There's a lot of room for improvement. We're still having officially 1.8 million households without access to electricity, that includes informal households. That itself, to make sure that we have universal access by 2025, we have also a plan that we follow that's all in line with NDP. And we will then, as the Deputy Minister also mentioned, that there will be a combination of and hunger depending on the situation where education needs to be rolled out. What is important is that we are not only dealing with making a connection to household, but also because of the fact that the infrastructure also needs to make sure the infrastructure is built, meaning lines, substation, rollback, public infrastructure, we need to maturity. And then also where there are new connections to be made to build this infrastructure, we'll find in the public space, the infrastructure is not up to standard, and the fact that we also need to operate that stuff. So it's not only connection, also that kind of infrastructure. And to do that, you need a plan. You need to, we right now in a situation where a couple of years ago, you can place your eyes and put it anywhere on this plan, and we'll find the basic electric plan. Right now, it isn't so easy. The areas that seem to be electrified is not so easy areas, so you're planning to become research. Next slide is then just quickly dealing with focusing on our region offices as an initiative. What we also believe in their capacity is that they're not only post box, but that right now they are soldiers on the ground, monitoring, observing, some projects being rolled out, and it's very important to assess the regional distribution of knowledge. We still don't believe place capacity, but I think it's a very important function of the department. The next one is the projects and programs. It's also important that we internally need to make sure that the department also operates in the budget management. Right now, we look around, and I think something was different, not running to employ consultants, but we see it's a good thing, government. And I think it's a very good example where the department overseas, I think it's a clear-cut example of where they implement budget management excellently, and we're now partnering with the department within to utilize some of their experiences to also keep us out about. Also another project that we've involved at the Ministry of Environmental Bodies, so the ESA program, that is a program that has ups and downs, but I think it's important to be an upstream side with the fact that we have with the current contracting model, a 70% local content that needs to be manufactured in country, not imported stuff, which changed in two ways. It means that the guarantees are local, not foreign guarantees, it means not very much. And secondly, it also generates jobs locally. And that also creates a lot of secondary jobs, which is very important. We busy with that program in collaboration with ESCOM and Australians, and that is taking off the lower content one, which is taking off the fuel contract leads. I think it's also important because of the fact that we are for this financial cycle, 200,000 units in the schools, which is a local one, and that's a achievement that's going to be made for this country. The next slide is then the second last slide, okay, where just to focus on the infrastructure of interest, as mentioned, that is currently a big challenge. We also monitor the implementation of the renewable energy beats to make sure that they deliver on time, in terms of what they committed, but also in terms of the social commitment, we're also monitoring that. You may be aware that right now, 0.6 megawatts of green power is being pumped into the grid, which is, I think, very unique from where we're coming from. Being taken cognizant of that 18 months ago, the contracts have only been signed, and that's a huge achievement. You know, I think that before the end of the year, we'll reach 1,000 megawatts, and then the two of the 19 IPPs, 17 are physically on the ground, physical construction, and that's also to add another 1,050 megawatts. That is not only in terms of energy security, but also I think the socio-economic development is huge. Yes, we have some challenges, and we're working on it and improving on that. I just mentioned that in terms of job creation, the one that over 12,000 jobs have been created in the process, while construction was going, over 530 jobs, and then also of those 7,500 have been youth jobs. I think it's also important in the last one, in the infrastructure contribution, we have run a pilot, as the thing that I have indicated, in terms of the fact that we have a series of power failures due to network constraints. Sometimes that's been linked to blackouts, which in most states, the majority of our received electricity through our grid, not the information, but distribution networks. So we run with 7 municipalities and 2 neighbors pilot to assist it with this improvement of the neighbors. The last slide, which is from the members, I think, is then also just to deal with the fact that as a branch, we're supporting the ministry and the department and the PICC secretary to find different various programs and the PICC, that's to make sure that we align the energy projects in line with the infrastructure development program of the PICC. The last activity of the branch is the community of investment one. And I think all what we're involved in, I think two aspects I want to highlight, the one streets and problems. The one that integrated energy centers, which I think the media also migrated to, is where three stations are being established as the systems of the petroleum companies and the department. We normally want to find a filling station. What I mean by that is that you will put down a filling station that is enough heaters to be pumped. But as I say, it's all over the country that's situated. So we then, together with the oil companies, they established these, they're called energy schemes, where fuel stations are being established in deep rural areas, but only bringing liquid fuel to communities. But all other kinds of energy carriers have been also been sold. And then we do that global libraries, events, cafe, etc., bakeries that's been established around this. The next one is also our focus on youth. The learners focus that we have once a year, and right now as you speak, for the full 6 days, we are exposing them to the ancient energy environment. It is youth from the advantaged communities which have interest in science and technology as subjects, and it's normally ranked 10 to 12. which are then involved in this program to express some of this energy in meaningful. And the last one is then also the awareness of the energy and what the effect of energy on the economy, specific job creation. So really it is a program that's earmarked specifically for youth employment and gender equality in terms of the contractors for the installation and maintenance of those companies. Chair, will members, that is, that is at a high level what we are dealing with in the constitution.
Thank you for your support and our members of the committee and our minister and the opportunity to catch the UG and all the conference. I want to talk to you briefly on the activity of the Ministry of March, which we address through the program technology implement for the fashion and aviation security as well as the development of the policy. Glad to the top of the branch, we manage the South African energy industry and the control in the territory in terms of the international aviation and relevant legislation and policies to ensure that the nuclear material is used for peaceful purposes in South Africa. As all the colleagues have indicated that we left our activities around indicating how we fit into the strategic outcomes for governments, as well as what we do as a range. With regard to this one on to deal with the nuclear security, I mean, the main thing there is to ensure that the use of nuclear material is used safely and we make sure that when we conduct inspections into facilities that use a nuclear material. We also have a strategic objective to account and control the nuclear material through the issue of a permit authorization to the embassy that are using nuclear material. And so what we do, we conduct inspection to ensure compliance. Another key strategic objective for our unit is to ensure that there is an implementation of the nuclear energy expansion. And we contribute towards controlling, towards ensuring the security of supply, and we are developing plans and things to ensure that we implement the nuclear program in response to the nuclear energy policy. Next slide. One of the key objectives is that we need to ensure that there is a safe and secure management of the radioactive waste, and we do this through the establishment of the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, which is an SOE that we are looking after the safe management of the radioactive waste. Next slide. With regard to this one, we also responsible in terms of our financial objectives to ensure the raises in terms of our energy management, we ensure the implementation of the national nuclear disaster management plan. And in terms of the responsibility of the commission and the consolidation of our strategic activities as well as the management of the regulars to work that arrive out of those facilities. Next slide. In terms of our making sure that we develop legislation, we achieve it through our compliance units where we conduct relevant research that we ensure that we keep in touch with the development in the nuclear energy industry as well as the international policies and the obligations. Next slide. on this particular side, Chairperson, we deal with our target, our main target is to ensure that the material that is used is authorized to organization and make sure that we set up on time, we got the proper application and we see the time of entrance, so we align with some of the NGFS as for the number that's going to be fine. And another key important aspect in terms of our annual discussion as well is that we have to conduct inspections in terms of complying with the same cost agreement that we find in the International Natural Resources Agency. We also need to make sure that we conduct inspections which are physical protection, physical control of the plant material. And in terms of this, we are going to send you the NGFS. In terms of the legislation is currently in the process of consultation as the NMR Amendment Act. We're consulting with stakeholders. We plan that this legislation will be subject to just the advisor for the implementation before we put it to the formal session. On this particular one, the chairperson might just indicate that it is our main financial objective to ensure that we improve public awareness and ensure that we demystify nuclear energy. So that is an understanding of what are the benefits of this particular energy source, part of the energy mix. And we've identified the chairperson that we need to increase the public awareness and public campaign to make sure that we can identify those of the nuclear units. On this one, I'd like to thank Mr. Chairperson for our last slide.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the Social Committee. I'll present an overview of the budget and I'll keep it as simple as possible. The budget before I proceed. Just to state that the purpose of the DND, the Department of Minerals and Energy, the Department of Energy sees 30% of the financial resources and 30% of the human resources as well. 70% remains with the Department of Minerals. As you would find from periodically, these reasons all creeping just some of the explanations I would provide going forward. But I will try not to make it out. In terms of the overview, I will present the economic classification, where it is the main division of the box, and then the overview of programs, the six programs that fall within the Department of Energy, and then I'll do the transfers to the entities and the municipalities, giving you the growth and some of the reasons that go with that. In this slide, the budget is being split into the compensation of employees, which take care of all the human resource expenditure, and mainly the increase, which has been shown on the slide, which is 26% from 13-14 financial year to 14-15, and the main reason of the increase is for the annual increases and adjustments for employer contributions. There has been a little increase that has been provided for an increase in capacity, however, very limited over the period. And in living services, it has also increased by 13%, and this is to make way for some of the inflation adjustments. And the biggest part of our budget, as you can see from this slide, is transferred to the state-owned entities and the municipalities, which take care of 93.16% of our entire budget. The balance of the budget is shared for operational expenditure and a small percentage for capital assets. The spending focus over the medium term is still on expanding the electrification program that is implemented by Eskom and the municipalities, and promoting energy efficiency through solar water diesel program. our budget has gone up from 6.5 billion to 7.4 billion by 14%. And the biggest contributor is transfers to state-owned entities and municipalities. Next slide, please. This slide shows, this is to highlight the different programs, the six programs that we have. Administration includes the Ministry, the Office of the EG, the Office of the VFO, the Office of the Chief Operating Officer, and Corporate Services. And there have been a slight increase in administration. And the main reason is they have relocated to a new office building and to cater for those operational leases. We had money injected into that program. The next program is energy efficiency planning. It also had an increase by 9.5%, and the spending focus is on implementing the regulatory framework for the introduction of biofuels in the liquid fuel sector, completing the infrastructure plans for gas and liquid fuels, and revamping the legislation and regulatory framework for the sector. Key projects that are in plan there, but in this budget, I will mention one or two of them, is the energy modeling system, the audit of the refineries, and the retention of the scope under the 20-year liquid fuel infrastructure roadmap. The next program is Program 3, Petroleum and Petroleum Products Regulation, has also grown up by a significant amount of 107%, and the main reason here. Following the department's review of the department's organizational and office structure, the department moved the regional petroleum regulation offices sub-programs from electrification and energy program, that was Dr. Ahmed's program, to this program here, petroleum and petroleum products. So that was the main difference that why judged so significantly. However, included in this budget, we will cater for the spending focus will remain monitoring and enforcing the technical, economic, legal compliance, which is legislation, specifications, and license provisions, assessing fuel specification checks, and taking into some of the non-compliances that have been identified in the sector. Program 4, Electrification Energy Program and Project Management, and also brought up to 5.8%. The significant growth projected in electrification and energy programs and project management, which has increased from 3.9 billion in 2013-14 to 4.2 billion in 2014, provide for the expansion and acceleration of the electrification programs, which Dr. Bunner spoke about. The allocation towards electrification projects implemented by Eskom increased by 2.1 billion in 2013-14 to 2.4 billion in 2014-15, while allocations made to municipalities by the DORA Act has also increased significantly. Nuclear energy, that's program 5, has also gone up to 17.4%, and some of the reasons for the increase, I'll just mention these two of them, is the one-off funding of 190 million made to NECA, so that's for the to fund strategic infrastructure maintenance and upgrades to the body 1 and maintenance to Kalandava site. The department also made in 2013-14 financial year 90.8 million transfer to the for the establishment of the South African Nuclear Energy Waste Institute, sponsored institute, and that also contributed to some of the increase in the nuclear program, which was about 13%. The last program, Clean Energy, has gone up significantly by 32%. And some of the reasons for this huge jump was spending projected to increase between 13-14 and 14-15 financial year due to the increase in transfers made to the Navy for the carbon capture storage and hydraulic fracturing projects. Allocations were also increased for the demand side, energy efficiency and demand side management. A program that is implemented by ESCA. It increased by 1.1 billion in 2014 to 1.6 billion in 2014-15 financial year, which contributes to most of the increase. Okay, I'm not sure how much of it belongs to the city, but it gives you an overview of the councillors that relate to all the entities and all the municipalities, and alongside it also gives you some extra reasons. Now, I'll go through this so that we get some idea of some of the increases. Highest gross numbers has increased in the 2013 financial year. SMIS has increased by 16.2%. Highest grants to municipalities have gone up, mainly by 19%. And the NEPA has also gone up, which I mentioned was the input for money for the Super 1 and the tenant data upgrades. Also going up was the solar water heater project that was implemented by ESCO. It's gone up by 42.3%. And that is for energy efficiency demand side management. And then grants to selected also gone up for the carbon capture and the hydraulic capture of the project. Overall, the budget from 13-14 to 13-15 has gone up by 14.2% in transfers and payments to the energy and municipalities in total. It took care of almost 92% of our entire budget of the Department of Energy. Chair and colleague, we would like hope that the future will be given an opportunity to present the actual results. That's what the portal wanted. Because the audit of the 13th financial year is still underway, and we'll be able to present those links to the targets that we achieved as well at the next stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, the presenters. I suggest complete. We need an agency and try to be as responsible. I do think that we should in future urgently brief you on upgrades as well as lack of service made in certain areas. We will be from the Millennium Development Goals to government priorities, our outcomes, versus our goals in the National Development Plan, the strategic integrated projects. We have started with an overview of the strategic plan vis-a-vis the budget. The strategic plan and the budget coincide or actually fit to each other. We indicated some of the acts which we would have to bring to the steering committee. We are not in the position to go into detail. I think that we have to receive presentation on the legislation, consult with you, and we can time frame of what is left for this year, what we could introduce this year, and what we need to introduce next year. But there are certain acts which you also need to scrutinize and be in line with other acts which are being discussed. We would like to present an overview of the departmental performance, which we are trying as soon as possible. This should include, but not only be limited to the service delivery environment, the service delivery improvement plan, and the organizational environment, and the need for an organizational review. The spending trend of the first quarter, as soon as I receive the first quarter financial report, I'll be able to give you the spending trend as reflected in the financial statement. We'll give you the expenditure of the program, which is indicated the number we are within our target. We have to give you the detail of the transfer or the detailed financial management system that is listed at the department of the interest to me. The appropriation and the increase in the allocations has been explained to you by the CFO. The directors from the State of the Nation address, we discussed that with the National Treasury, how it will be costed and how it will be funded. The interface between the Department of Energy, the Department of Public Enterprises, Finance, the detailed discussions on the matters of ESCOM and how it impacts on service delivery of the Department of Energy. And then those are the number of the previous meetings that we have to have
bank, which I would be members of regularly. The overview when we do the briefings of the entities. We've also asked the entities to start briefing or writing reports on the output against the performance measurements and stop it. Each BDG will be reporting on the performance agreement. I'll be preparing the performance agreement of the minister and the deputy minister for the president and the deputy president's approval. Before I do sign the performance agreement with the president, I'll submit the performance agreement to members of the committee because my performance will inevitably fall to part of your performance. I would like to ask that the performance agreement to minister and the deputy minister signed with the president should also be including some of the authorities which you have. We have asked for an update on key capital projects, the projects which have been completed, the capital projects which are in progress, the money spent and what has been allocated. The, although ESCOM does not report to us, we have also asked the Minister of Public Enterprises to share information on the expenditure patterns of the projects done by ESCOM. Majority and Fusile in particular, because the outcomes of those projects have a direct bearing on our work. A chairperson mine is not to run the committee, but to make an all of the suggestions. And my honest and humble suggestion is that we have joint committee meetings at some stage with the public enterprises and some stages the roads. We are certainly working with the road departments as well as Treasury. We also establishing which entities own or control which assets. The asset base of the entities has to be clarified so that we understand exactly what we are managing and what our oversight role should be. So for the entities, we may not be interviewed today, but they have been requested to do an overview of the bank allocation, to submit reports on other sources of income. The sources of income relate sometimes to the credit expenses. But the expenditure was the great reason I discovered it's a very stretch business. The expenditure. So we bring it what they spent on projects. Some of these projects have been running for a long time. And if you look at your 1 year budget allocation, we've discovered that actually the project has been receiving funds for quite some time. So we planned expenditure then because we already budgeted allocations as well as some state will be proceeding in the near future. Just a part of your total report that calls for your further direction on the matter.
No, this is all the presentation. Agenda, questions, comments, and comments. Number of presentations have been made.
But I think it is important, particularly in the third energy committee meeting, that we check up on the right side and we actually put forward kind of work plan for the next 5 years so that we can be working with the department and trying to resolve some of these issues. And in that spirit, I just want to put forward a few suggestions if possible. The first thing is that, I mean, I'm hearing reports that Israel is going to be coming back to us. And clearly, this has been a contentious issue over the last 2 years. I've been quite disgusted over that and quite cautious in name about that. But I'm happy to see that this has been put back on the agenda. But Israel, we must remember, is only one small part of the kind of institutional restructuring that we have to do in the electricity industry. And one of the key things that came out of the public hearings on Israel, in fact, most of the presenters said that we really need an end-state vision for the electricity industry. We need an end-state vision in which we can then have as a framework in which we can then judge all legislation, including NERA and ERA and ISMA and all of those, as to how that fits into our progress towards what we want the end-state for the electricity industry to be. And I think one of the reasons why the ISMA bill failed, I mean, there was definitely politics behind it, but I think one of the reasons is we didn't have consensus on what that end state of the industry is and how we get to get it. So I would then humbly put that forward to you, Minister, and to your department, that we really need to work on that end state and get buy-in from the government as a whole, that this is where we're trying to address to, and then we can work towards that for your education. I just think it's something that we need to put forward in the next 5 years, which is something we have to really get to grips with. The other one is, we heard a lot in the tone about energy, and I think that that is great. I think that's the kind of admission that we are in an energy crisis at the moment and that we really need to tackle. The problem is with the state of the nation of this is that most of the solutions that have been put forward are, at best, long-term solutions. When we talk about the Inga Dam, when we talk about nuclear energy and even fracking, these are all 7 to 10 to 12 years away. It's not going to solve our present energy crisis. And we really need to know what it is that we can do to solve the present energy crisis until Mozambique comes online. And I know there's been another strike now, and so this could delay Mozambique even further. The real issue is, how do we deal with our present short-term energy crisis? And in that vein, one of the questions I want to ask is around cogeneration. And why is it that we haven't had a cogeneration procurement plan being put in place yet? This thing is dragged on for too long. We can bring on projects within 2 years, even some of them being peaking projects, so that we can relieve ESCOM, because ESCOM's funding crisis is almost entirely due to them relying on a diesel generator for peaking power. What are we doing to bring on cogeneration and even other IPP programs that have short lead times, 2 years, 1 to 2 years? What are we doing to deal with that? And I'd be interested to hear that from your department. then the issue is around a number of plans. I mean, your department is kind of part of generating lots and lots and lots of plans. And I think that's good because we need proper plans to really look at policy going forward. But there's a lot of confusion about what plan holds sway, what has more authority, what doesn't. You know, there's contradictions between what the National Development Plan says, what gets said in SONA, what the Integrated Resource Plan says, what the IG says. We need clarity on how all of these things are going to fit together. Now, also, we have a president's announced that he wants an energy security market plan. How is that going to differ from what we've got in terms of the Integrated Energy Plan and the Integrated Resource Plan? If I could just get some clarity on how those are all going to fit together and speak to each other. And then just on that issue, I see that the president has changed the NEC, into the Energy Security Committee. Now, in a sense, that kind of eclipses the work of the Energy Department. So I'm interested to know how these two feed into each other. And whether this committee, which is my understanding, is an interministerial committee, is it going to be more transparent than what we've seen from the NEC work? Because we've received no documentation, no outcome from that interministerial committee. We aren't privy to any of that information. So if we're going to have an interministerial committee working on energy security, I would have been interested to hear whether the minister thinks that those reports should be coming to us as well to engage with as an energy committee here in Parliament, whether that impact will be closed. And we will sit on that energy security committee as well. I think there's a lot of uncertainty around that too. And then just lastly, when talking about the integrated energy plan,
One of the key things that came out of there, one of the submissions I made to that, was that we really need an externalities of energy study. And I think that was borne out by the headline we saw in the Mail Guardian about 2 weeks ago around how coal is killing our population. Okay, I mean, it was quite a brazen headline, and of course it brings me to engage with it. But one of the key points, and it still hasn't come out of this department yet, I'm hoping you'll make a priority, is to look at the external cost to our society of different energy sources. So that when we do energy planning, we can have a true picture of what energy sources we should in fact be relying on, what mix of energy sources we should be relying on, and know the full cost of those particular energy sources. I'm hoping that the department will be working on that. I'm looking forward to hearing your comments on that. Thank you, sir. I'll leave it there for now. Obviously, I've got a lot of questions, but I'll ask that whether there's an answer to support that comment.
The way we want it to go because of this
fuel, I don't want to call it fuel transport, because you've not also mentioned it as a transport, but as you're saying, this was this, to me, in the back of my mind, it says, it is somehow of uncertainty. The next set of questions will go to Mr. Apane. Mr. Apane talked to the issues of green economy and how certain protocols and agreements that we as a country have put ourselves to, because the world is talking about greening the economy, not harming the ozone layer, making sure that we move towards an economy which is very green. But the issue is that they're not telling us that before they move into this green economy, they also industrialize their own machines and make sure that they produce and produce and produce. So if we are taken to this very expensive way of industrializing our country, look at the issues of green economy, are we going to be able to actually industrialize and create the jobs that we want to create in the country? Or this, will this hinder us and create a lot of country? Because it's one thing for us to go to this green seminar and put our signature there and write on this protocol. But if we are a developing country, we still need to get there. How do we expect ourselves as a country to get there if we are going to be set aside into issues of bringing the economy and all that? And then that question goes with the issue of the carbon issue and the carbon emissions level. I want clarity on where does the act that empowers the levy to be taken from us as own cars, who I know now that when we buy cars, we have to take the levy for your cars, because you can't spend it out of fuel. So I want to get to understand whether the act that empowers, I don't know whether it's your department or the treasury that actually collects those levies. And can that also, can I also be empowered to say how much revenue or how much has those levies made, and how are they then taken back to the economy? Who is using the money from the carbon emissions levies, and what triples can those levies done for us in the country towards moving towards? What we are saying that we are paying for this for emitting those carbon, and what is that money now coming to do for us as people who pay for those levies? And then I want to include a question with the carbon capture. I want to clarify the chief officer mentioned the carbon capture. I just want to understand what that means and how they work out. And then my other set of questions goes to the nuclear energy testing. Nuclear energy is another source of energy. I want to understand how much of we been able to produce in the country through our public plants, and whether is there any room for improving that, because if we rely on producing electricity through the whole generating system, at times you hear that when it rains too much or rains for 2 weeks, we were told that the coal is too wet. We might not expect anything because the coal is not burning due to the saturation of the coal getting lots of water. So can we get to understand how much can we rely on the other sources of energy apart from the coal generating energy? We're specifically looking at the nuclear energy. And then the last question goes to the finance person. You spoke about transferring funds to municipalities and to state-owned entities. Now my point is, you say you transfer money to Exxon, and Exxon uses that money. But Exxon does not have a direct accountability link with us as an energy portfolio or department. How then do we actually check and get Exxon to account and to, on the money that we transfer to them? How much can we utilize? What is the value for the money that we use? Because it's one thing to say we've got money, we transfer money to Exxon, but if Exxon does not come to us and say, all the money that we gave you, this is the thing for money, and this is what we want in the future. And I would like us to hear and not even ask anything about the money that we spend by that, but we just give it to the other people who are going to be there. We should know the money they take from treasury through our energy components or our bills. And then the last question goes to the minister. The minister, within the set of executive managers that you have in this department, I've just seen that you've got only two senior executives or senior or DDG level managers. And sitting here, I'm just thinking, where do we not have enough women who have the capacity to the fact that the minister was only born in 2009. And in 2009 already we talked about the issue of gender equality and making sure that within the hierarchy of government in our private sector we have women who are there. But if we have a number of males who are still dominating the environment or the entire component of energy and still come in and dominate even our own government and senior management, such as the French government. I also appreciate the fact that yourself and the deputies are women, and I know you will champion the issue of gender parity. But I see you will be in the 5 years that we are here, and this was telecommunicated. I think there was some action you have, and when the person has to use it for their own position somewhere, maybe we should look into the aspect of in the acting part. We bring in women, but I'm sure we've got a lot of capable women scientists, women who can take into this environment and who can actually take the agenda of women forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to start with the budget, maybe. 800 million was budgeted for nuclear development. The president mentioned in the part of the national address that we used the phone, the Rani Safari 1, a little place, used the phone on the car. Now, I studied mechanical engineering, so I know very little about nuclear energy. But if they can vote for that amount budget, the nuclear plant, it's going to cost about 8 billion rand more, 8,000 million rand more to build the plant by then. There's also only 8 million rand budgeted for fracking. The deputy minister mentioned when she talked about important the fee for the soil and natural gas, and I agree 100%, seeing that we're on the same geological complex as Mozambique, but this doesn't really make sense to just explore it. But I think a hydrocarbon installation can be developed. The DG mentioned that the environment must be protected as well. I agree. We've seen all that happened in the Karoo, as they call it, track off. And I think they mean what they say. But we do need these natural gases as well. But also, South Africa is the 31st driest country in the world, and it takes about 50 million liters of water to do fracking. Fracking is water injection to those facilities of rocks and deposits of the gas. And that absorbs a lot of our water, especially in dry areas. Now, I see licenses were awarded in Limpopo and all that. Doesn't it make sense? And all of the time was like, I agree with the previous speaker, it does take a long time. It took North Sea gas, it took more than a decade for them to benefit the country from the offshore drilling. Doesn't it make sense? The Deputy Minister also mentioned this IPP, Independent Power Producer. Doesn't it make sense to continue with the procurement of renewable energy? Like total voltaic solar energy instead of burning fossil fuels such as coal or oil or gas that release the CO2 to the air, seeing that the carbon emission already is that global warming is being an issue. Thank you.
I would like to see this budget being on top of things in terms of the current challenges, the challenge of illegal electricity, have illegal conditions, because the municipalities are helpless on that. I also want to see the department coming up with plans of aging infrastructure. My last comment, Minister, please come up with a clear alignment between this department and the Department of Public Enterprises for better monitoring and accountability. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will be brief on my questions and comments that I have. Early on, when me and my colleague next to my neighbor were discussing about the Department of Energy, and still we do have an energy crisis in the country, and as much as we want to beautify it, we cannot. And it's how all of us as stakeholders and role players in this committee work together and in solving the problem that the departments are currently facing. Part of my first question would be towards the department on the presentation. I don't know if I'm a bit old-fashioned, but I like to see things on the presentation. So on your one of the posts, if we can also see the post that would complement in all of the departments and throughout your transmission, the provision and enterprises, in all of that, that the post reflects on all of those entities. So if you can, next time you come to present or send to the secretary, so that you can have a clear line in which department or which areas in your department that this will talk to. And then on the one, on the to Dr. Banner, is there a plan and do you have a policy to distribute electricity to the unemployment individuals in the country? And if you do have a policy of that nature, you can forward it to us as well, so that we can also see how the departments are ensuring that the unemployed to also have electricity. Then the second one, I don't know who I'm going to ask the deadline minister, because as you said earlier on, we need to have joint committee meeting, because now if I'm going to direct this question, then there won't be a direct accountability. My ESCOM doesn't report to me. So this question must go to the entity, but I will ask it nevertheless. If we can have a list of all of the power cuts that are due to have and cable and provided the court thereof, and how much money are owed by the municipalities to Eskom. And then if you can also have a list when you present to us next time on your waste expenditure on your budget, so that we can also see, you know, you have on the budget, you have told us where you have increased, but it doesn't have a true reflection as far to some of the waste avoid in the department. If we can have that as well next time. That is the only answer that I have. Just for that, thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. Chair, I've got two or three questions. First, let me thank the panelists for the presentation to the committee. The DDG or the DG in his presentation, he made or alluded to the challenges which they are facing as the country. But I did not hear a general strategy in ensuring that would eliminate the challenges which users are facing. And amongst the challenges, they are issues of access to electricity, distribution of infrastructure in Washington. Now, I want to check whether you have considered the importance of ensuring that you manage tighter reserve margins that we have, as we are looking at overcoming the challenges that you are having as the or what measures at least do you have in managing those tight margins, which I think they also pose a huge goal for us. And in the presentation, you presented the department on the pricing framework in Washington. Don't you think that it is important that as a department you start looking at a long term policy in terms of pricing and also a policy that will look to a long term industry? Issues of pricing, they affect many people, not only the industry or the client or whatever, they affect everyone. So whether you need to look into a long-term kind of an approach in terms of pricing going forward. And one last issue. In your annual plan, you speak of a capacity program for Eskom or final audience in using a program to analyze Eskom that needs to be rolled out of the contract. Are you looking at a very challenging Eskom, or do you intend to put some additional financial support to Eskom for them to be able to implement the RIP that is reflected here in respect of the IT program? And what measures in place do you have in expediting the IT
system?
Thank you, Chairman. Before I think I should just put the department in our response, because quite a number of questions have been asked, and after we've responded, you'll say that we haven't responded to all the questions, or we haven't responded to it in sufficient detail. So could I ascertain how much time we have, and if some of these questions, which are clearly policy questions, we could present them in the next session, so if the members would be happy. We do not want to stop them for a long thing. We tell the members that we are adamant by not supplying adequate responses. So just as you could assist me in telling them how much time we have left before that happens. A number of questions which I have done are quite substantial. And some of them do require immediate responses. Could we come back to that, or what kind of responses to substantial?
Whatever time you give me now, I won't be back. That's it. That's it. So, I want to suggest that we try the next 20 minutes to respond to the questions that the partner can respond to or people respond to. Let me just say this. We had it ourselves as a committee and the department into this presentation. I'm sure the entities that support many of the people in the entities have always been in the whole agency, have always been there. We did. Because of the time lapse that we have, we have no expectation that we will to resolve all of the issues that are going to be raised today. We quite happy to have an overview from the department, from the ACC, so that we can sit up and plan our way. And maybe for the things that we will bring, we want to have to attend to the department and all of some of the issues. So I want to add that let's not try and rush ourselves into finding finality on everything, because it's not going to be possible today. Taking details notes in order to make sure that we can follow through on all of the issues that we've been raising. So I want to suggest that the department responds to the questions that they can have, those that we can't substantially respond to now, that we have time.
Thank you, President, for your wisdom and your leadership. I appreciate that. So could I give certainly over of the responses which the officials not able to give, particularly with respect to the decision making of the cabinet and the president? Could I then ask the deputy minister to brief the first thing you were from the director's majority? I really appreciate the questions of the honourable members and allow me to assure the members the full cooperation of the ministry. The ministry consists of the minister and the deputy minister. We will endeavour to have at least the minister or the deputy minister to the matter of the director general. I'm sure the members would like to know what the situation is like. I will owe you an explanation. The current director general's term of office being at the end of November will address the contract in by the end of November. We have an agreement that's supposed to be exercised on before then, because remember the appointment of the director general is a matter for the Department of Public Service and Administration. It is also then referred to cabinet and finally the appointment is made by president. So because it's by the numbers and process, we're looking at the post to be exercised by the one. And we've already started the process of that assessment. The meetings with Minister Chapani have happened. Several meetings have already happened. Quite a number of those meetings have happened. So I hope you have the answers of the question well before the end of the current session. The question, the matter of gender equity. Yes, we passionate about gender equity, and of course we'll be asking a number of favors, but I'm not afraid of having favors anymore. But Petro is the CEO, number of CEOs of our state-owned enterprises, a lot of the chairpersons of our boards are women. I would comfortably give us the complete organogram that we give you the number of CEOs as well as women. The CEOs do have quite a bit of power, especially in the budget of concern, and the transfer of made by the department to the employees. These CEOs and chairpersons actually do have quite a bit of responsibility, which we will be wanting to invest in. I'm not going to give you a list of the CEOs and chairpersons who are women, but I was very interested to know that the majority of all the CEOs given the CFO of the department. Now, if you're really in charge of your money, then I might have then, honorable members, the matter between our department and ESCO has been one of the documents from day one to the day. So, from day one, we have actually scheduled to make a public administration. Because of stock matters. And those stock matters would also be those that we have in the provinces, and the kind of stocking we'd like to have, not only Eskom stocking, but the potential of having board members on Eskom. Board members who would straddle the energy department as well as the public enterprise. It's going to be complicated, so, and they haven't worked in this way before. They haven't also been the matter of accountability and monitoring the lines will be blurred. And so we will blurred unless we have a clear basis of priority. We have to take clear the management structure. Our report, our accounts, our reports on the managed project of the Department of Energy, the number of questions we have. So, the transversal function, the normal transversal function between this department and other national departments, but also the transversal functions between us and provincial departments as well as local departments, should be determined by either a memorandum of understanding, but by peer preschools. You cannot just leave it to relationships. Because later on they'll say, oh no, this is an arty minister, this is actually a much nicer minister. And then it becomes two women who are fighting and ugly to the next. So they have clear terms of references to which we say, this will be your function, this will be your accounting mechanism. This is how often you will come to the management meeting of the department of energy, because we expect ESCOM to also be part of our managerial meeting, at least a representative of ESCOM, but they will also be part of our planning, because we are planning without ESCOM. That's why we are planning without local governments. But local governments also receive a huge chunk of our money. So those transversal functions are government members. They straddle other departments, other offices, other fields of government. We have never had a formal engagement or a formal memorandum of understanding with municipalities who are receiving budget, but they do not account to us for the money we spend. But then also there has to be some coordination and synergy between our budgeting. So we cannot budget 10% for municipality and state them to budget the rest when they expect us to do 50% of the budget. So they expect 60% of the budget from us, and then we give them 10% in any case. So that funding gap and the lack of synergy funding, planning, has to be a case of it. It's not going to be easy because people do not like to share the information, they do not like to share responsibilities and accountability. And certainly they're not going to be able to overcome these two more departments. And so the alignment, the monitoring, the accountability, the planning, the policy, we want to strengthen the portfolio of the company, so we have a lot more monitoring and evaluation, policy and planning. That policy and planning is a key policy mechanisms, which include the consent, which relates to the members. So the consent issues of the members rate are actually the concerns around policy issues today, and the uncertainty around policy, and the isolation between one method and the other, and the way in which you change our mind. So we change our mind, we wake up, we have a new flow of the day, and if tomorrow when we go to sleep, we suddenly find ourselves in a new hotel, waking up on the wrong side of the day, and there's a new policy. But that policy questions can only happen as a collective change. And we do not have the luxury of trying this community. There are certain policy decisions which are outstanding for 12 years. As I said, I am not the solution for energy today, the collective that has to be the solution. There's no individual that has the solution for energy problems of our country or the energy crisis. So when we do the energy market change, I do not believe that we can come to the link SDA to the community and then expect the community to proceed. I believe that plan has to be developed with the community and that the input of the community has to be considered before we finalize the plan or even before we release the first plan. We do not have the time to go backwards and forwards for the plan. This energy master plan, whatever it means by the energy master plan, or the integrated and school plan, it should be we don't have time, we have to convey it to you, but take your input, work it into the financial, take the input of the members, work it into what you're doing. He has quite a detailed presentation. When you do have time, you should do that thing to that school as well. But before he does that presentation, senior members in this committee who have been here long and who have experience as a frustration, but also have very good advice. So we can't reinvent the wheel, we can't. We are not all experts, we are professionals. I'd also like the recommendations from the committee. I'll be appointing a panel of experts who advise me, an advisory committee. If you like members of that advisory committee, that would be our advisory committee. They cannot advise an individual. So if there's an expert in the field that you'd like to recommend, this is not a political committee which would arise from party political matters, but let us have an advisory committee who could come to this portfolio committee as our advisory committee. I am requesting this urgency. But then, even amongst the experts, there's a sense of sovereignty. I've been here in less than a month, and on one matter, I've already received more than 15 different opinions. The advocate with each and every individual who has the solution for the energy crisis in our country. I'm never going to see meetings and never solve this problem. So you may hear that some people have wanted 6 months to meet with me. Right now, we put you in an order. Every time we send a request comes from a meeting, then the list will already go into close to the 1,000 requests for meeting. I'll tell some of them over to the difference in the portfolio. On matters which, again, I struggle with more than one portfolio, fracking, again, I'm sitting with the Minister of Energy, the legislation currently, which of that particular role will impact directly on our decision. So it is requested that the Minister of Energy will back. The Minister of Minerals holds back on certain those that were for the signed, act which was supposed to be signed up already, is requested that Honorable President also hold back on some of the proposals that have been made. So Honorable Members, just as we appreciate that we're not able to work for the same period investment. So if we could also see the act as a committee, would have to respect the prerogative of the chairperson, and I could only suggest. But at the ministerial level, as well as the deputy minister, there are key portfolios we have already met. They include the portfolios of minerals, portfolios of labor, before we meet with the different labor unions, the DTI. So we have had our one-on-one. When it comes to the committee, the cabinet committee, again, we seek to advise. It is the time we can see the president and the new be in that committee. we have our views on who should be named by the final decision of the next president. But again, if you give us your views, we could request that everything will depend that we are on the same page or we just don't want. But the terms of reference of the committee has to be recommended to the president. And we have to draft the terms of reference, obviously we can't decide on the terms of reference. So the president is preparing that brief for you, and you are trying to give out to the presidency. As soon as that is completed, you are sharing. A number of the announcements which the president made, the department was part of those proceedings. There were some such, they were carefully considered by the department. They were written by the officials, they were not political statements made by the president. So you can be rest assured that the complete ownership of the input of the declaration is there. I don't need to speak for the department, they can speak for themselves. We actually took what they gained and put it in the speech for them. We were all suffering so much getting to the speech. But again, honorable members, we took the Department of Energy to another level. It has certainly shown you that the country is serious about addressing the problem, and we certainly do not have enough time to be disagreeing with each other. We need to agree to disagree at some stage, but we cannot discover this is a matter of ego, this is a matter of solving a problem which has been a great system which is central, the fundamental to the economic growth in our country. I'm not going to elaborate on all of that. We come back to putting with an economic discussion on how the energy crisis has impacted on the lack of growth in our economy. Renewable energy. We should be having the time we have to discuss all our renewable energy projects. The matter of the future, what it is we seek to do, what the president announced. Honorable Member Marco Berlin Machine, she asked a number of questions, quite a long number of questions. I also seek to sit down and take the views of many of some of these things. The Interministerial Committee, the report on the member, our five annual reports, if they are for, if they are ready for public consumption, before the public consumption, I think it is appropriate that the committee sees it. If they need the information, I would request that the JPM and the committee in the public is in the press. The institutional reduction which has been done, we will not be raised the full uncertainty in the match. Certainly just to be a major in some instances. Short-term and long-term solutions, short-term solutions are not a part of this department below, and those short-term solutions will come from a range of departments, as I cannot suggest those departments, as soon as they have a little bit more clarity about how the department can also be to the party, which includes the recapitalization of the institution. We will have to tax some of it with other people, the reason we keep in mind. And certainly, those budgets which are there now will be insufficient for the bank to have on the table. Now, what funding model will be agreed upon for the interior? There is no funding, the model for funding it is clarified, it is the funding certainty. So we know that even if we want to get guarantees or if we need to be supplying any form of guarantees which affect the treasury, it's not going to be easy in the current financial climate that we are in as a country. The synergy between all our different documents is what we are working on, and we appreciate that you should be able to highlight those changes and contributions. There would be a number of external issues which the president is not undertaking presently. So we, depending on who the president wants on those issues, I think that the state of us is already in the time. opinion, I'll give you the current challenges for the over, but challenges are never insurmountable. We can only get to the end route. I will not insist specifically on too long or whether we should swim or whether we should go by boat or whether we should go by rail or fly. The route we choose, and will that time to be complete about the route for too long? We can just agree on the route, but the rest of it is on how we wish to be away we want to be. Because we are all concerned about our cuts, one of the first questions we will contact you then with Minister Brown, and then we receive a final report on this call. It will be a final having
economy is not existent. It's very, very costly.
is something that needs to have a long-term view in terms of how much are we investing now and what are the benefits into the future. But in the meantime, we do have these reserves. How do we manage those reserves in terms of coal? How do we clean them so that we can be sustainable? Because we have the coal and we cannot ignore the coal that we have. But we have responsibilities in terms of protecting our environment and meeting our goals in terms of international obligations. So those are things as well. I think we'll have further debate in terms of what are the different options we're looking at, because this also has a direct impact on that master plan we're looking at. We need to come to some kind of agreement and understanding. The IPPs have been very useful. They've been more short-term in terms of meeting the challenges now, but it will also be interesting for all of us to look and say, what are the implications for us in 15 years' time? What will be the debt we'll be paying for these short-term measures? And while we look at that, we need to be looking again at the long term and say, what is the final solution? I don't remember the exact words we used in terms of the, I don't remember, but yes, where do we want to go? So how do we get there? We have the immediate challenges, but how do we get to that sustainable future energy mix and provision? And who needs to participate and how? So again, as I said, those are, I'd say there are policy issues and debate that we need to have and come to some common understanding. And we also trust that policy is going to be a key partner in assisting us to make sure that people out there understand our role, the role of the NPC, because I think there's also a lack of understanding in terms of what services are available, who people should go to, who are the arbitrators, if people have concerns. So that's just in a nutshell. I don't want to repeat what the minister has been saying. I don't know if your officials might want to pick up one or two issues with the legislature.
We can also receive some responses in writing that we have been able to respond to by saying there are key ones which have been responded to those services. No problem.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Just briefly, on the issue of the vacant rate that was asked by Honorable Maxwell and Michelle. The vacant rate currently sits at 8.4%. In terms of the implementation at FMS level, we are working towards 50% for women, the senior management, the level. We are currently at 43%. There is a challenge of the this level, but I'm pretty clear that the minister will be guiding us on that matter going forward. And as the DDG and DGS. The staff complement of the department is 40-50% women and 48% men. Then quickly on the issue of the volatility of the fuel prices, I think that one, my proposal is that there is a need for us to kind of explain that that is a comprehensive case. Quite a comprehensive response. The issue of the switching off, I think they all were trying to say is that by switching off the light, it's just a contribution also that one makes to lowering basically carbon emissions also. But also when you keep a light on in a place where you don't need it to be on, you are actually giving away money. So I was talking more around the household, not necessarily the industrial level. Even there, Dr. Eve or Bob or something. I think the rest I will leave to my colleagues as well as the levies. I think the question on levies, very quickly, that's a national treasury competence. So it is not the Department of Energy. And the CO2 tax, basically, that is there when the vehicles are purchased. I think it's a behavioral change that Treasury was trying to encourage of all of us. Is that when you buy a car, also you have to be aware of the CO2 emissions in the vehicle that you're buying. The consciousness issue, and I believe that those parts are looking at for the benefit of all of us. And the rest I will ask them.
The decision the deputy minister and I shared is that we can no longer be addicted to the function of treasury, but that we take full responsibility for certain functions which sell more than our portfolio. So it means that we have to be minister and the deputy minister together. We are committed to be that. Sometimes our counterparts have to be persuaded and really gently persuaded. But we will do the gentle persuasion. This means that DGs have to meet with ministers. We did so already with public enterprises, with the DG, the full management team of ESCOM. So it's possible. But obviously, we can get some beautiful, gentle, and kind words, condoling. And you can understand that as Jefferson, I think we're too young in there. I don't think you're really fit to go to another woman when I was teaching.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Minister. Honorable Chairperson, I take the issue from my people, maybe just to indicate that a lot of these questions that could be answered in the presentation form that we have, and I suppose if we could have a question of the detail around the thing, we could cover a lot of that background. But I also wanted to also ask you to indicate that there was a pretty question, for example, about our concepts and stories, how it works, and those types of questions. And I know that some ladies, for example, have very nice application that deals with these issues. So in time, suggestion is that maybe we could have a session to the audience or just to deal with the details that we have experienced, briefly touched on. And then it will do justice to the question.
Okay, members, Mr. Minister, there can be just two issues, legal commissions. As the Minister has to do everything, a lot of things are combined challenge. It's not that you eat combined challenge because those illegal users are not DOE customers that belongs to a ESCOM or a municipality. But it's energy that needs to get, and I think there's a holistic solution. One is that you need to make sure there's access, but the other also that communities also play a role. Because what we found recently is you're not getting a non-technical person doing those live matches. It's technical skilled person. And right now it's a roaring business, and we are getting an innovation plan that we have done some work on. So we need to also then ask communities that it's technical that people are paid by the communities to do. But on our side, we also need to make sure that access is reached. I must stress that the number of informal settlements is a challenge. But specifically now, if you look at the address, we did some aerial survey in the Eastern Cape of an area that was 3 years ago being laid out, electrified, to standard. Right now, on average, there's 5.5 sites with the site, and site work and backyard dwellers preserved. The network's one designed for that. But as I mentioned,
check issues then on the minimum low and the policy and plans on for unemployed people with special treatment. The one that I've seen that actually is free of charge. That's the in place. Then when it's also free, basically electricity, each household that qualifies, that can apply from their supply, either in study or the ESCOM, can receive a free basic electricity amount. Then thirdly, is that your caps are designed, and also MESO refers to related, in blocks, so that your low users are paying much less than upper users, maybe are paying for the same electricity. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. For me, it's not going to take a cue from our principals to provide a brief response. There was a question raised around the contribution of COVID into the electricity generation. And I must say, Chairperson, that COVID has been producing electricity for 30 years. Safely and from a drug. And the plan is to ensure that we continue to produce electricity for another 50 years. And it's very stuck to our speech to the reliability of the nuclear energy.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Some of that interest will come from the electricity sector.
Okay, so is there any member who wants to send the assessment?